Welcome to Warn Radio. Warn Radio. With your hosts, the Watchman Dana Smith and Tower.
Thanks for listening.
Greetings and welcome to Warn Radio. I am Tower and we are glad you joined us. If you would like to send correspondence or your prayer requests to the WIBR Warn Radio, you can do so through our contact page on warn-usa.com. And don't miss out on the posts and articles found on warn-usa.com. The first one is Eyes, the Lord Beholds All. Eyes of the Lord behold all and observes all events. As we begin a stint into the world of the radical globalist agenda led by the left-wing American leaders, the future can seem ominous. Also, Battlefield Earth. Christians, here is the scene from the United World Space Station today. As our cameras roll on the ground, send images which in fact go into the nations of the earth through new technology by our King of the World and Prince and God Himself. Another article, A Troubled America Needs a Refuge in the Day of My Trouble. It is a day of trouble for America and Americans who want the America we used to know. Also, don't miss Valley of Achor, Door of Hope. For this, the end of days, there is need for hope in America and worldwide. People are facing troubled times. On Dana Glenn Smith, we have two articles. American Social Justice Doctrine. In this nation today is on display. After decades of pushing Marxist thought, it is a war fought on the streets. Also, Christian living wise in a world where evil plots and that which is good seems to fade away. We are, as believers, supposed to be wise concerning good and evil. And you can find us on the following social media: LinkedIn by using hashtag Watchman, USA.life, and MeWe with hashtag Warn Radio, Parler with at Watchman DGS, Clout Hub with at Warn Radio, and Tumblr with the Watchman IS216. You can listen to our shows through the following carriers: Blueberry, iHeartRadio, iTunes Player, Apple Podcast, Spreaker, Stitcher, TuneIn, Google Play Music, Warn Radio Visions on Blog Talk Radio, Podcast Addict, CastBox, Google Podcast, Anchor, Deezer, and Podchaser. And now I welcome in the Watchman.
You're listening to Warn Radio on the WIBR Warn Radio Network. Don't forget to visit our websites at warn-usa.com and danaglennsmith.com. And also follow us on Twitter, find us on Instagram, and join us on LinkedIn.
Tonight on Warn Radio Battle Lines, we have Isaiah's Prophetic Book, Part 77, Trusting in the Arm of the Flesh. Trusting in the arm of the flesh brings us to the fact of men and nations, as Psalm 2 warns of the heathen's rage and people imagine a vain thing, so too we find the prophet Isaiah warning us today. Greetings, Dana. How are you doing tonight?
Well, I'm doing good. Here we are. We've survived Biden for a day and a half, I think, or not quite 2 days.
Yeah.
And you know, everything's fine. You know, he's surrounded by all kinds of troops, 24,000 troops. None of them know why they're there because nothing happened. They're standing around all day long just trying to look like they're military people. And Biden got his inaugural parade. He had the bands. He had the entourage, everybody in cars driving. And all he had was a few, he had the soldiers lining the whole way. I guess to protect him from nobody, because there wasn't anybody around. There wasn't anybody in the streets. And he went into the White House.
But they turned their back on him too, Dana.
They did.
You forgot that part.
Well, I hadn't got to it yet.
Oh, okay.
But at any rate, they did turn their back on him. There was a little talk about why they were there, because nothing happened. And, you know, I mean, nothing makes sense. So who knows? I don't know. It's just one of those things that's a mystery in America today when you put liberals in charge. It's not bad. You know, Kennedy was a Democrat, and he was, you know, I kind of liked him. And of course, he died when I was young, and I remember that funeral to this day.
Oh, I do, too.
And he was young, and then his brother Bobby got assassinated and killed. So we remember that. That's terrible. And you know, there is another Kennedy roaming around still in Congress now, and I don't know if he's any association with all the other guys, you know.
Yeah, I don't know if he's related at all.
So at any rate, yeah, we're going to be in Isaiah. I'm going to go ahead and do this, so we'll see you on the other side.
Okay, see you on the other side.
Well, we left off in Isaiah 30:33, for Tophet is ordained of old. Yea, for the king it is prepared. He has made it deep and large. The pile thereof is fire and much wood, and the breath of the Lord like a stream of brimstone doth kindle it. And I like the way they do the imagery. Now, of course, we're still dealing with Hezekiah. We're still dealing with the Assyrians coming in and being destroyed. And, of course, Tophet is known as the Valley of Hinnom. And the Valley of Hinnom is that place that's associated with Tophet. That is, actually, it means a place of burning. In the Valley of Hinnom, it reminds us of torment. It reminds us of Hades, hell. And you can find it throughout the New Testament. And Gehenna is a name that is associated with Tophet as well. And then, of course, we have Armageddon or Megiddo. Megiddo, and that's another thing in history, I mean, in our prophecy about where the final battles will be taken, because there's more than one battle. There's a lot of stuff that goes on. But, you know, and so it's Isaiah that brought in the imagery of Tophet. And it was ordained of old. And, you know, Paul uses some of this same stuff. And it's just one of those things referring to people who do things or groups that are ordained of old, for those who do such things will be judged harshly. And there's some of people that persist in doing things that are utterly wicked, and they're going to head to total destruction or perdition. In 2 Thessalonians 2, we have the son of perdition, meaning the son of destruction. And, of course, that leads the same thing. He's going to be totally destroyed. And that's where he was ordained. There was ordained that there would be this guy. This guy is ordained. He's following a path. And of course, that gets into a whole other sticky wicket when we get into foreknowledge and the fact that God can call these the end from the beginning. But just like Tophet is ordained of old, so too there's a number of others that we actively know in prophecy And the son of perdition is just one of them, because he is one that we've known about. And when he comes, he's going to lead people into destruction. It's going to happen because people reject the truth. And so this is really, I mean, when you talk about rejecting the truth, you can look at America, you know, because we have a lot of that. And right now, America is not in a good place at all. And so when we're talking about judgment here, you can throw America right in the middle of this. Now, the problem you have with judging America now is many people say, yeah, but there's other nations that are much worse than we are. And that's true. That's very true. But those other nations didn't have the original starting and beginning of the nations as we did. Because we had people that come over here, and when they got over here, they were Christians, and they made a pact with the Lord. They prayed, and they agreed, and they did. There's the Mayflower Covenant. There's when they prayed and they got on the land. You know, so there's a lot of things that started this. Now, of course, with all the people we have trying to take over America and change everything, they want to remove all that. Biden is one of the ones that decided as soon as he got in office, he would destroy the 1776 commission, which President Trump wrote in. But the fact of the matter of it is that whether he does or he doesn't, it isn't going to change somebody who knows the truth, which I know the truth. Tower knows the truth. There's a lot of patriots that know the truth, and 1776 and how he began and everything, including the Declaration of Independence, it's all related. And so we're looking at judgment in America. We're looking at judgment on the nations. And so when we look at Isaiah, you know, we have a judgment in here, but this judgment is related to saving the house of Israel. It's also meant as a test, because when they're threatened with Babylon, in the future, and that's after, of course, a long time warning by Jeremiah for years and years, God isn't going to deliver them. And we've been following this whole time, looking at this. And if you get into Armageddon, too, you can get into the Valley of Hinnom. And, you know, you just have this imagery, you know, everywhere you go. And when you look at, you know, like Revelation 20:10, we have cast in the lake of fire and brimstone. And, you know, you have judgment throughout this. You have the fact that the Assyrians are coming. And just like Tophet and everything that was burned there, the Valley of Hinnom and Gehenna, we associate fire, we associate burning, we associate death, we associate the judgment on the wicked. And so we've got all of this imagery in here, and, you know, it's not like Israel was perfect, because they weren't, but they were getting better because they had been bad. I mean, Israel had their share of bad kings. I mean, we've had our share of bad presidents, and I could go through a list, and we've had a number of them that they openly work to destroy the very nation that they're president of, which is ludicrous, but that's what they do. And that's exactly what Biden is doing. He's working to do that. He's shutting down as much of the energy as he can. And by doing that, he's going to cause a crash in all that. The oil prices are going to go up. We're going to lose American jobs. The jobless rate will go up. And this is what they're trying to do. And this is, this came on the heels of the pandemic and everything else. It was the perfect storm. And when you look at, you know, the Assyrians coming in, it was like a perfect storm too, because they came in from one end and was going to the other, and nobody could stop them. Israel wanted to go and get help from Egypt, and that didn't work out. So we're dealing with the fact that, number one, you know, God wants them to trust in him. And, of course, they're under the Sinai covenant, and we're under grace by faith, you know, justified by faith. And we follow the, scripture, and we walk by faith and obedience. to the Lord. And so we're still going to be facing judgments, tribulations, and everything else in this whole world. And you cannot get away from the righteousness of God. And you definitely can't get away from Gehenna. Fire and brimstone. I mean, nobody, you know, in their right mind would want to go through that. You know, be tossed in there. And of course, you got to remember that if you were tossed in there in your fleshly body, it would burn it up. But see, we're not talking about putting fleshly bodies into this. We're talking about putting spirits into it. Where the worm dieth not, the spirit never does die. You're thrown in the lake of fire and brimstone forever. And you'll never get out of it. Your spirit won't, and it'll never die. And you will be in eternal torment your entire life. I mean, the rest of eternity. Now, that's judgment. And so when we talk about, as Christians, about being redeemed, we get saved from that. But see, God wants a personal relationship, both with Christians, and he wanted a relationship with Israel. And so God is going to use this, and he did use this, threat of the Assyrians, and he was going to let them come to the gates, and he was going to deliver them. And that's just like the Lord. It seems like, you know, many times, you know, the Lord just never seems to, you know, hurry up enough. You know, if I'm going to be delivered, I would prefer to be delivered ahead of time so I can relax. But God is on time, even if he seems a little late. And he will only do it at a time when he's glorified, and you can't attribute it to man, almost invariably. They're miraculous. I mean, Lazarus, look at Lazarus being raised from the dead by the Lord. He waited, deliberately waited. And, after he had gotten the word that Lazarus was sick, he waited because he knew he was going to die. He was going to raise him from the dead to reveal, that he is the resurrection and the life. That's why Lazarus was resurrected, to prove one of the main points of the gospel, the resurrection and the life. Because he was pointing to his very death and also his resurrection to prove that he is the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. And so with Israel now, they haven't even gotten to this yet. They're still in the Sinai covenant, and they've had bad leaders. They've had good leaders. They've had a struggle, and it started going down after Solomon when he fell away. Solomon was the zenith, the peak of their kingdom. David couldn't build, the holy temple, because he had too much blood, but he was the warrior king. He defeated the enemies. Solomon got to rule in peace. David never fell away from the Lord, but Solomon did. Now, a lot of the old Jewish writings, a number of them, it was years ago when I was researching some of the books of Solomon, and they liked to teach that Solomon did repent. The scripture doesn't say whether he repented or not, just that he fell away and God judged him. I would like to think that he repented, but that's neither here nor there. Now, we're in chapter 31, and this is interesting, because we have a lot of connections to Egypt. It is absolutely fascinating, even in the New Testament, at the time of Pentecost and things, and later on in Acts, Egypt comes up. It comes up in prophecy. And Egypt has a Christian presence going back to the apostles. And so here in chapter 31, we're dealing with going down to Egypt. Now, to explain the type of Egypt really is, in metaphorically and types. Egypt is a type of the world. Israel in bondage is a type of a sinner, someone who is held in bondage, you know, by their sins and in captivity. Pharaoh is like unto the devil, who is holding sway over him, forcing him into bondage. And then you got Moses, is as God to him, to Pharaoh. And Aaron is as his prophet. Now that's literally what the Lord told him, told Moses. And so we see this bondage and being deliverance and coming out through the Passover. It's all a type of how a Christian is born again. And when you get to the Lord and in John calls him the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world, which again refers back to Passover and what they had to do back there. So it's all typed out. You know, when you look at the events in the Old Testament, and there's always underlying lessons to gain from these things. And of course, with Egypt, now we're talking about the arm of the flesh here. Now, the arm of the flesh is pertinent in a Christian's life. And in America, you know, we have a hard time with the arm of the flesh because we depend on our drugs, you know, for healing, our doctors for healing and surgeries. We depend on our cars to get us around. We depend on our jobs to pay our bills. And if it's a really good job and everything, you get retirement or you get, you're able to stick money away for your retirement. So you get used to all of these provisions of the flesh. And if you get sick, it's easier to go to a doctor, get a prescription, and go home and just go through it than it is to really believe that God will heal you. Well, a long time ago, in the beginning, when we got delivered and saved many, many years ago, back in the mid-70s, you know, we were of those that we had seen miracles of the Lord. The Lord had miraculously delivered us. And so we believed that God healed. To this day, we believe the same thing. And there's a number, there's a lot in our family that does. Now, my mother had been a Methodist all of her life, but yet she was sick all the time, could never believe in divine healing pretty much. My grandmother, who was a Christian woman, died of cancer. And the elders of the church even come prayed for her. And this was during the Azusa Street Revival so long ago. And it was probably a little later than that, come to think of it, because that's where Dad got saved, was as the Azusa Street, and it was later on. But at any rate, what I'm saying is the arm of the flesh, you know, if you're a Christian, you're in the spirit or you're in the flesh. Now, there is a point when you're walking during the day, you might have one foot in the spirit and one foot in the flesh. You know, but if you're redeemed, you're in the spirit all the time, if you're truly redeemed. Now, God has grace towards us, and he knows. So we're saved by faith. And even when we don't feel like we're saved, you know, we're saved. And, of course, if you ask a Jew, and I've been asked by Jews this, when they found out I was a believer, and he says, I suppose you think you're saved now. And what the reason of it is, you're not saved until you're in heaven with Christ or he's here with you. So why do you say you're saved? Well, we say saved because we believe by faith. And so Israel is having these issues here. And when the Assyrians came along, they wanted to go down into Egypt to get help, because they had the horses, the chariots, everything was strong. And it was obvious that if you were going to need strength, going to need deliverance in any way, shape, or form, that it would do you well to make a pact with Egypt so that they could come help you, and you could use their strength, and together you could defeat the enemy. Well, see, that didn't work with the Lord, and we've been covering that the whole thing. And when you look at it from the spirit, the flesh and the spirit battle each other, the two natures, all the time. And when we contrast the spirit to the flesh, and we look at this story, and we look at what God is trying to get across with Israel, you know, he wants them to truly be united to him, not to just keeping endless commandments, to make him happy, but to actually love him and want to do it and be compelled because you love him. The same thing as being a Christian believer today. And so in Isaiah 31, verse 1, now the first thing he says is, woe to them that go down to Egypt for help. And, you know, Isaiah starts off right away because he's going somewhere with this. Now, by the time you remember, you get up here, you know, Isaiah 30:33, talking about Tophet. 32, in every place where the grounded staff shall pass, the Lord shall lay upon him. And here it talks about battles and the shaking. And the verse before that talks about the voice of the Lord shall the Assyrian be beaten. See, you have these verses of how the Lord's going to beat the Assyrians. But the thing of it is, in this first verse, again, the prophet is calling out, you know, you're not going to go down to Egypt. That's the arm of the flesh. You're either going to trust the Lord God or that's it. Now, see, this, we do pick up on this because the reason we pick up on it is because after Israel was overran by Babylon, there was some remnant in the land. Jeremiah was still alive. And there was a big group of them that were left in the land and wanted to go down to Egypt. And Jeremiah said, don't go down to Egypt again. The Lord told him to go talk to them. They wouldn't listen, so they took Jeremiah with them, and they went down in Egypt. And the language is really strong when you read it as it's really happening. And the fact of it is, God was going to send Sennacherib, another group of them through there. And, of course, this instant is happening a long ways after the Assyrian one. This is the Babylonian one. But, see, Egypt never did get the flesh out. You see, that's the point. And many Christians don't get the flesh out. They never chuck that leaning on the flesh. Now, see, we have a song, Leaning on the Everlasting Arm. Now, that's the arm of God, and yet if we look at many of the arms people like to lean on, I mean, it's your doctor, you know, it's your medicines, you know, it's maybe your friends around you, it's your job, it's your retirement, you know, it can be things, it can be dogs, it can be people, you know, leaning on that which is around you, and it's easy for us to do. Now, we can be comfortable. And we can use these things. But when things get bad, an example, you got Biden in, you got Obama as his buddy, you've got the Democrats pretty much running everything. They already said what they were going to do. Everybody's been up in arms at what he's doing. I knew what they were going to do, so I'm not paying any attention. That's just the way it is. I could care less because in this whole election, this thing was phonied from the beginning. I'm a watchman. I proclaim judgment. I'm looking to the Lord, and judgment is coming. And so, you know, you got to learn to lean on who you can grab. And that's the good thing about this as we look at it. Christian, this is here not to tell you specifically about Israel, although we are telling you about Israel and about the situation. We're here to remind you and give you a point in fact life lesson with Israel and relate it to your life as a Christian and tell you you don't want to go there. You don't want to go back down into Egypt. I wrote an article, this fact, many years ago, going back to Egypt. Many Christians have gone back to Egypt. And I've seen pastors do the same thing. And they think they can talk to themselves. Now, you're either taking up the cross or you're not taking up the cross. The Lord said, he that follows me must take up the cross and follow me. Taking up the cross and following Christ, and I'm going to tell you the way it is. In America, we've got multi-million dollar evangelists who are leaning on a nice fat bank account. We have huge mega pastors leaning on the flesh of a huge, huge mega church filled with people. They preach soft, goody-two-shoes messages, gets everybody in, and everybody thinks they're comfortable. But when your bank account leaves, when you've got a depression, when you got everything falling apart, are you going to be there for the Lord? Are you going to be mad at him? The Lord, in fact, says that many will be offended at me in that day. This is coming up. This is in the time that we're going to be living in. People will be offended because they expected God to either rapture them out too early, which is not biblical, or to do something else. And so people are going to be offended because they expected one thing and they didn't get it. The bottom line of it is God is not going to be bribed. And Israel wasn't going to bribe them. And so he says, woe to them that go down to Egypt for help and stay on horses and trust in chariots. Now, if you're being attacked by China, you're going to want a few tanks and a lot of other stuff. But see, the thing of it is here is that the judgment had already occurred. And I'm reflecting this in two ways. Number one, you know, when they went down to Egypt for help in the time of the Assyrians, but they also went down to Egypt for help when they had been overrun by Babylon and the remnant was in the land and they wanted to get away from Babylon, so they went down to Egypt. And God didn't want them to go to Egypt. He wanted them to stay in the land, and he would protect them, give them favor, and they'd be fine. But they didn't do it. And God followed through. And, of course, Jeremiah, the end of Jeremiah is kind of sketchy. I can't remember what the eventual thing happened with him. I covered this many years ago. But at any rate, in Revelation 3, you know, when I was reading this, And going through this, I thought of the Laodicean church. And this is a church. And to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I would that you were hot. So then, because you are lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I'll spew thee out of my mouth. Now see, this is a church in Laodicea. Now, we don't have an epistle to Laodicea. Now, Paul writes, and I forget which book it was, and he says, let this be read in the church of Laodicea as well. Now, we don't know where that other one is. I've never seen it. I have a lot of the old writings and books from the early forefathers and stuff, but no one really knows where it was. But see, the Laodiceans, this is what they said. Because thou sayest, the Lord says, I am rich and increased in goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Why? Because they were leaning on the things they could see, that they could feel, touch, experience, and they're fine. Well, I'm rich. I got a big house. I've got plenty of stuff in my barn stored away. You know, we're on top of the A-list here in Palestine or wherever you're at, Laodicea. We're on the A-list of credit. You know, we can buy a donkey with no problem. You know, I mean, you're leaning on the flesh, folks. And, of course, when you're in America, you know, you got a good job. You've got a doctor. You've got a lawyer. You've got good credit. You've got a car. You've got, dear God in heaven, what don't we have? Your kids have, what, $150, $200 Nikes, whatever they are now? I bought a pair of shoes, and all those things, if you're going to get a good one, they're going to cost you a lot of money. But if you look at the Christians, they're being persecuted down in, anywhere in the world, but especially in India. Most of those poor guys and gals and kids don't have any shoes. They're running around without shoes. So, you know, look at yourself in the mirror and look at, and count what you have around you. You know, are you leaning on the flesh? Well, many of us are. But if we're enjoying a house and God has blessed us, you know, there is an avenue where as long as we're walking in Him, we love Him, and our hearts are truly right with Him, we're walking in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, the Son, cleanses us from all unrighteousness. That's in 1 John 1. You can find it there. 1 John chapter 1. You know, there is that place where you can walk in the light, you can be close to the Lord, and he will bless you and keep you. Now, see, the children of Israel believed that, and they believed that through the old covenant, if they were walking with God, then, you know, as God wanted, then they would be blessed all the time. But they kept getting in trouble. And see, the whole thing is falling away, and that's how easy it is. So the Lord says, because you say that I'm rich and increase in goods and have nothing, have need of nothing, you don't have need of nothing. I mean, where's your heart at? It's being filled with all the stuff you have. Verse 18, I counsel you to buy me of gold tried in the fire, that you may be rich in white raiment. Now see, in order to be rich, you got to go through the fire, which is tribulation and trouble. I mean, there's things happening in America, and you may not want this stuff to happen in America. But I got news for you. In America, we have all kinds of sin here, blatant sin, outrageous sin, blood guilt, and many other things, every kind of fornication that you can think of. I seen a thing on one of the social feeds, Californication, speaking of California and fornication. Well, it's not just California. And so, now Jeremiah in 17, remember at the time, he's dealing with Judah. Verse 7 of chapter 17, blessed is the man that trusts in the Lord, whose hope the Lord is. And see, that's where we want to be. Now, in Hebrews 3:7, you know, you have a little bit of Israel, and he says, wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith today, if you'll hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation of the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me and proved me and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore, I was grieved with that generation, said they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they will not enter into my rest. Now see, this is what we want to do, is enter into the Lord's rest. And of course, Israel is learning a lesson of being drawn closer. Remember, they don't have the new covenant. The Lord hasn't come yet. And the whole issue with them, and they were, you know, they had the temple. They had the priests all the time. They, you know, and sometimes they lost the books or they didn't know where it was. And you'll find various of the writings in the Kings how, you know, some of this stuff was found and they could go through it. I mean, it was an up and down thing for them. And when Hezekiah came around, he relit the fire. And he was known as a good king for what he did. And this is the thing here. You can follow this in Israel every time. And even today you can follow it. If you want to look at the state of a nation, you look at the leadership. And if you have a good leader, he will bring that nation around. And I mean a good godly leader. And he'll bring them unto that, and he'll be a witness for them. Now, if you have a godless leader, one that's wicked, one that isn't where he needs to be, it's going to be slovenly. It's going to be corrupt. And it's going to be a bad result. The people are going to suffer. I mean, this is what Scripture says, you know, about rulers who are evil. You know, the people suffer under them. And so, you know, you're headed into 4 years of a regime that came here for one reason, and that is to make America into a Marxist regime. And they've got every kind of ding-dong up there, side of Biden. I mean, it looks like he went to Fools R Us in order to find the people that would help him. And he did keep Christopher Wray up there in the FBI. But this is what happens, though, you see. You know, this is what happens. You've got a profane preacher, you know, and a lot of others up there. And you have some of the others that are novices that's been given positions of power, and you can't even talk to them because even Scripture warns us against promoting novices, lest they be exalted in their heart. Pride is the issue there. And in verse 2, now if we move this around back into Isaiah 31:2, yet he also is wise and will bring evil, will not call back his words, but will arise against the house of the evildoers and against the help of them that work iniquity. And, you know, the thing of it is that when God brings judgment on Israel, if you try to save it, you're actually working against God. And so, just like in the time when Israel went to Judah, in order to survive, you had to submit yourself to the judgment and allow God to bless you there. And if you follow that, we have some of the greatest prophecies that came out of Israel, came during the time of those 70 years. And one of the ones that gave a lot of it, just one of them, was Daniel. And so just because you're going into this doesn't mean God doesn't move, doesn't mean you're going to die. It means God can give you favor. He's bringing it, and he's going to bring down the wicked. He will bring evil. And matter of fact, there is a scripture that says, I have made the wicked for the day of evil. And the day of evil is also known as the time of darkness, when instead of the light, the power of darkness has been given sway to be able to carry out what must be done in order to fulfill the word of God. But here it says, I will rise against the house of evildoers and against the help of them that work iniquity. Now see, God did use Assyria to scare the living daylights out of, you know, Judah. He did that for a reason, because they weren't where they were. And as he says, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. And he says that in the New Testament as well as the Old. The Lord always, always takes care of these things. And so when you're leaning on the flesh, you go to another nation, you lean on whatever you think is right. You know, we lean on all the things I've mentioned before. Doctors, you know, lawyers, retirement, you know, they're all helpful. But when things really, really get bad, some of those things can be cut off. Then you have to trust God. See, and it comes down to this. Kylan DeLeach and their commentators in Isaiah in pretty much the Old Testament, the Tanakh, and they point out, thus they preferred the help of the impotent. That's the, you know, the arm of the flesh. That's Egypt, for instance. And conditioned to the help of the Almighty and all conditioning one. In other words, he can do anything. There's nothing he can't do. But see, we limit the Lord too, ourselves. Well, you know, and I've seen this so many times with people who have some kind of disease, they will say they're dying. And they'll run around and talk about it. Well, I'm dying and that's it, you know. I remember Zola Levitt many years ago. And he was a great guy, a Jewish messianic believer, and had a nice ministry. And he got into a diet, a thing that he couldn't eat ice cream, he couldn't eat a lot of the good stuff. And he was on that for years and years and years. And one time, all of a sudden he came out and he says, you know, I began eating ice cream and other things I haven't been able to have. And he says, the reason I'm doing that is because I have cancer. It's bad. And he relates a story, and he says, many years ago when I began this diet, I was doing it, and I had said that here I am eating this stuff I don't like, and I don't get to enjoy the ice cream. And he says, this diet will probably kill me instead of the other thing. And those words right there seemed to come to pass, because that's what happened to him. And you never know what you're going to say with your mouth. You never know. You're planting seeds. And you got to understand that God is a God of life. Now, folks, it's not easy to sit there and watch an army come at you and say, well, it's going to work out for the best. Because there's a lot of people, when Babylon went in there, that didn't make it. And matter of fact, the scripture does say, such as for the sword to the sword. And there's those that for prison to prison, captivity to captivity. That's the problem with judgment. And when we look at the prophets, there's a tendency to see all judgment, but the whole purpose of what we're talking about is the fact of redemption. Now you see, I believe the scripture points out that although God delivered Jerusalem from the Assyrian threat, that there were still those political Jews within Israel that wanted help from Egypt anyway. And you see that in Israel today in their political scene. They were going to have their fourth election. You know, they can't seem to get it together to get somebody elected. We don't worry about that. We just allow cheating to go on. And then we turn the other way and Congress doesn't do anything. And most of your judges, your judicial system are corrupt. So that doesn't work. And they are corrupt in this country. Make no mistake about it. If they were where they needed to be, we would have had a fair look at it. But, you know, this had been planned. But if you think America is righteous, you're wrong. If you think your judges and everything are righteous, you're wrong. That doesn't mean there's some out there. But I got news for you. You begin to lean on the arm of the flesh in America and think this thing won't fall. You're wrong. If you think God put in Joe Biden up there to be your friend and buddy and to do like Donald Trump, you're nuts. This guy is in the 100 or probably even 360 degree in the other direction. There's nothing any of those he appointed or he would do that would be even closely related to what Trump might do. Absolutely not. And see, the question again then is, who did you trust? Did you trust Trump to deliver you and America? Or did you trust the Lord God to bring deliverance? See, this is the question that we have to ask. And see, as a watchman, I see these things, and I see them just because of the Lord. I've been doing this for many years, and there's things that I'm shown and that I know. I don't want to know. Honestly, I don't want to know, but I do. And I have to write it. I have to speak it. But it's not good. And we're in trouble in the nations. But see, the overriding thing that you've got to understand here is that it's God who is in control. He's the one that's bringing all this up. He's given this to Isaiah to discuss and bring it out and tell the people, to inform them, to say, this is what we're doing. Now see, we have nice books. They just had the parchments and they had to go into the temple and stuff and the tabernacle before the temple. And to find out what God said. Now, in Jeremiah 44, this is after Babylon fell. This is 28. Yet a small number that escaped the sword shall return out of the land of Egypt into the land of Judah, and all the remnant of Judah that are gone into the land of Egypt to sojourn there shall know whose word shall stand, mine or theirs. And this shall be a sign unto you, saith the Lord, that I will punish you in this place, that you may know that my word shall surely stand against you for evil. He says, thus saith the Lord, behold, I'll give Pharaoh Hophra, king of Egypt, into the hands of his enemies, into the hand of them that seek his life, as I gave Zedekiah, king of Judah, into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, his enemy, and that sought his life. Now see, this is, you have some that escaped. They went down into Egypt. Some of them returned. Jeremiah told them not to go down there. And God was going to destroy Egypt down there. And that, of course, you know, you're sitting here, you think, well, how am I going to escape? Well, if you're in America, there's nowhere for you to go. You have to go to the Lord. Now, 1 Corinthians 1:19 says, for it is written, I'll destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? And see, that's really what we're talking about. See, the wisdom of the world has always been there. The wisdom of God. You know, the wisdom of God and his righteousness and his knowledge has been revealed to us in a greater measure today than it was to Israel, of course. And Israel had mighty prophets that did tremendous miracles. Now see, most of the Gentile nations knew what a Jewish prophet was. They knew that they did miracles and signs and wonders. You didn't mess with the Jewish prophet. That's all there is to it. And if you think all this nicey, picey, friendly, whoopee-doo that we do in the churches today is true Jewish anointed prophet, you're wrong. It's not. Not even close to it. It's a total different level whatsoever. I don't know of any true Jewish prophets in this country. Now, we have some that are real good rabbis and messianic believers, and we even have rabbis who aren't messianic believers that are real wise. But, you know, we've got issues in this country, just like Israel had issues. But the whole thing of it is that after Judah was delivered, you know, back into the land, you know, they got back to the Lord. They didn't have the same kind of temple, but they could start over. And there is a difference. And so today, as we look at this, in Isaiah's prophetic book, we're looking at this thing, and it's Isaiah who's writing it because, you know, and continues to bring this out because he's explaining to the people intently, you know, what is going on. Now, this verse, this chapter 31, is not very long. Matter of fact, if we weren't in such in-depth in some of this stuff, you know, that would be one thing. We could get through it fairly quick. But, you know, this is a book that it has 9 chapters to it. I mean, 9 verses. That's what it has. But they're not just little, small, simple verses. And he's going to bring you in a path. And there's a reason that he does all this. Because there's a lot of things that Isaiah says that we're going to find that relates directly to the prophetic end of days and to the judgment that's coming on the world. And that's why we want to take our time and look at it, to make sure we don't miss it. And so these are part of those things that when we look at them and we see, you know, how every verse seems to relate to what we're doing today. And that's the amazing part, is that we can do that. We can look at it and we can say, you know, I can see America in this. I can see Israel today in this. See, that's the issue. We're supposed to be able to look. These things are written down for us to take them and learn from them. And so today we need to look. You know, everybody, all of us, we all do. This turning to the flesh is a struggle. Paul even said this. Who's going to deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ, my Lord. You know, he died on the cross to deliver us. It's a battle. It's a struggle. The Lord knows that. But you're coming into a time in America and the world. But see, especially for America, because America, we have not gone through some of this stuff. And it could turn into full-scale war. Because right now, those in charge and the people that helped them in a lot of the news and others who are glad Biden is in there are not very nice. And the things they say aren't very nice. And we found out, now all of a sudden, one minute we were on the MAGA team, and now we're on the maggot team, full of filthiness and lies and despicable behavior. They hate us. If you look in India, that's the way the Christians are. And they're oppressed by the Hindus. In Pakistan, the Christians are despised, looked upon that way by the Muslims. In North Korea, the Christians there are despised, looked upon about like that by just about all the North Koreans. Christianity has been taken as a bad thing by the Chinese Communist Party, and they're despised. The Lord said, if the world hates you, it hated me. He was despised and rejected of men. Make no mistake, he didn't call you to a mansion. He called you to the cross. And the lesson that God was getting across to Israel is they were his redeemed. They were his people. They were to love him, and he would honor them. He would raise them up as the sons and daughters of God. Father, thank you for your word, for your blessing, for your goodness. Bless your people when they hear this word. Encourage them, make a way for them, Father, in Jesus' name. Okay, Tower. So don't forget to come to warn-usa.com, danaglennsmith.com. Visit us, read the articles, pass them on to your friends. We've got new articles. We've got a lot of things going on over there. You can listen to the shows over there and even download them. We have our shows everywhere, it seems. So, are you back?
Yes. Sorry for being noisy.
Yeah, you were. I thought you were trampling through the vineyard. You know, like it says in the thing, the trampling in the vineyard song.
Yeah.
He is loosed as the terrible lightning.
Is loose.
The lightning of his terrible swift sword. His truth is marching on.
Yeah.
Now that's a song I love. And that symbolism is directly, you know, it comes directly out of a prophetic, you know, true old-fashioned, old-time, Old Testament prophet mode, you know. The Lord's coming with his terrible Swiss sword. His truth is marching on. You know, everything stopped, and here he is, you know. Okay, what have you done with my vineyard? Well, you know, why did you come back so quick? I told you if you weren't looking, I was going to be here.
Yeah.
And I'd catch you unaware. I mean, well, you know, I was kind of busy. You know, I still love you, but, you know, after all, I couldn't make it.
Time flies.
Yeah. I mean, I laugh jokingly, but this is not a laughing matter.
No.
I mean, we are seriously need to take a look at our relationships here with the Lord.
Yeah, I like that, what you said. He didn't call you to a mansion. He called you to the cross. And, you know, he suffered. And who are we to think that we're above that, above the suffering? It's going to happen.
Yeah.
We don't want it to, but it will.
Well, you know, something about the flesh, it doesn't like to suffer.
No.
I don't blame it. You know, I'm...
But the servant is not above the master.
That's right. When it gets cold, I want to stay warm. When I get hot, I want to stay cool. When I get thirsty, I want to drink water. When I get hungry, I want to eat. I don't want to be, you know, bothered with all this uneasiness and judgment stuff. I mean, a lot of Americans, a lot of people in the world are like that.
I remember one time I had this person tell me that we were talking about the end times and things happening, and she said, well, we're going to go in the rapture. We're not going to have to suffer. That's why Christ died on the cross. Yeah, but what about the scripture? The servant is not above the master. We will suffer. No, he died on the cross, so we don't have to.
Yeah, see, that's not even biblical.
No, totally blinded. You should quit listening to man and get into the Word of God.
Well, we're going to have to get out
of
here. Okay,
good night, everybody. Thank you for joining us. We love you. We pray for you. We hope the best for you. Stay safe and keep looking up, for your redemption draws nigh. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody. Shalom.
Thank you for listening to this episode of The Warn Radio.